Coffee Break German, Season 2, Lesson 22. Herzlich willkommen zu Coffee Break German. Ich bin Marc.
Und ich bin Andrea.
Und wie geht's dir heute, Andrea?
Mir geht es fantastisch. Und dir?
Ja, gut, aber ein bisschen müde.
Ach, du bist müde? Warum?
Also, ich bin müde, weil gestern hatte ich viel zu tun.
Ah, weil du gestern viel zu tun hattest.
One day I'm going to get my word order right. Weil ich gestern viel zu tun hatte.
Super.
Weil ich gestern viel zu tun hatte. So my verb goes right to the end, weil ich gestern viel zu tun hatte. Okay. I sometimes do wonder if our listeners get very frustrated listening to me trying to struggle with the German, but I guess that's what learning a language is all about.
Exactly.
Okay, Andrea, what are we doing in this episode?
Well, we're still looking at the preteritum, and today we're looking at how to use the preteritum in verbs that aren't modal verbs or haben and sein.
Okay, I have been wondering about those verbs. Okay, it all sounds good. We are also going to be hearing from Julia today with a cultural correspondence segment. Also, bist du bereit?
Ich bin bereit.
Los geht's! Okay, recently we have been looking at the preteritum of modal verbs. We looked at können, dürfen, müssen and wollen.
Genau, and we also looked at haben und sein, which are also used in the preteritum.
Ja, und auch es gab.
Genau, sehr gut.
Okay, so perhaps we should do a little bit of review before we move on.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. I have a few questions for you.
Okay.
Als du ein Kind warst, durftest du lange fernsehen?
When I was a child, was I allowed to watch lots of television or was I allowed to watch the television for a long time?
Yes.
Also, als ich ein Kind war, als ich ein Kind war, durfte ich nicht lange fernsehen.
Gut, super. Was konntest du besonders gut, als du 12 warst?
Besonders?
Particularly.
So what could I do really well when I was 12? Als ich 12 war, konnte ich Klavier spielen? Konnte ich gut Klavier spielen?
Okay, super. Sehr gut.
Okay.
Was war dein Lieblingsgetränk, als du 15 warst?
Oh, mein Lieblingsgetränk, als ich 15 war Orangensaft.
Sehr gut, super.
Ich erinnere mich nicht.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Orangensaft hört sich gut an.
Ja, okay.
Ja? Hattest du früher Haustiere?
Ja, früher hatte ich ein Kaninchen und einen Hund.
Oh, super. Was waren die Namen von dem Kaninchen und dem Hund?
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me that. Das Kaninchen hat Fluffy geheißt.
Geheißen,
same mistake as before. Der Hund hat Misty geheißen.
Oh, super. Wie süß.
Ja, sehr süß.
So, und die letzte Frage. Musstest du mit 10 oft im Haushalt helfen?
Okay, so you're talking about housework here and doing household chores. Mit 10 musste ich selten im Haushalt helfen.
Sehr gut, super, danke, Marc.
Bitte sehr. Also vielleicht sollte ich diese Frage dir machen.
Ah, wir stellen Fragen.
Okay,
vielleicht sollte ich dir diese Fragen stellen.
Vielleicht sollte ich dir diese Fragen stellen.
Klar.
Okay, also als du ein Kind warst, durftest du lange fernsehen?
Nein, mein Vater hat es verboten.
Ach.
Ich durfte nicht lange fernsehen.
Okay, so your dad forbid it?
Ja, genau.
Okay, also was konntest du besonders gut, als du 12 warst?
Ich konnte besonders gut deutsche Grammatik.
Ah, okay, das ist wichtig, ja. Und was war dein Lieblingsgetränk, als du 15 warst?
Mein Lieblingsgetränk, als ich 15 war, war selbstgepresster Apfelsaft.
Oh, ja, sehr interessant. Und hattest du früher Haustiere?
Natürlich. Ich hatte eine Katze, einen Hund und meine Mutter hatte ein Pferd.
Wow, okay. Also, wie haben sie geheißen?
Meine Katze hat Leonardo geheißen, nach Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay.
Ja. Und mein Hund hat Laika geheißen.
Laika?
Ja, wie der erste Hund im Weltraum.
Weltraum?
Space.
Space, oh ja.
Ja.
Okay.
Und das Pferd meiner Mutter hat Ryan geheißen.
Ryan?
Ja, ich weiß nicht warum.
I have to say, I was quite impressed there with the reasons your animals were called that compared to my animals. But when you came up with Ryan, then
yes, now you're
we're equal again.
Yes.
So just going back one, we talked about your favorite drink, and your favorite drink was
selbstgepresster Apfelsaft.
So homemade apple juice that you pressed yourself?
Ja, meine Großmutter.
Ah, okay.
Meine Großmutter war Bäuerin.
She was a farmer?
Ja, genau.
Ah, ausgezeichnet. Okay, so as a 12-year-old, you really were good at German grammar?
Yes, it's sad, I know.
And then we talked about your favorite drink. We talked about your animals. Oh, one last question. Musstest du mit 10 oft im Haushalt helfen?
Ja, ich musste mit 10 oft meiner Großmutter helfen auf dem Bauernhof.
Ah, so you had to help your grandmother in the farm?
Yes, help. Yes.
You had to help her.
Pick up apples and these sort
for
of things. Harvest carrots.
Carrots.
Ja, genau.
Sehr gut. Okay, so we have now learned haben, sein, wollen, können, dürfen und müssen. And we've learned them in the preteritum. We've learned the fact that they're not normally used in the perfect. But one of the things that I've been wondering about is, do normal verbs, the verbs that we've learned like wohnen and sprechen and all these normal verbs, do they have preteritum versions too?
Yes, they do, and they are used, just maybe not as regularly as we use the perfect.
Okay.
The preteritum in the other verbs is used when we tell a story, when we tell a fairy tale, speak about someone's biography, speak about historical facts.
Okay. Also in spoken language, when we're telling that in spoken language.
Yes, but everything becomes a little bit more poetic when we use the preteritum.
Right. And can I ask, is that across the German-speaking countries?
Yes. As I said, in my dialect, we don't have a preteritum.
Okay.
So some Swiss struggle a bit with the preteritum, but in general, we see the preteritum in written texts.
Okay.
Especially stories, novels, fairy tales, yeah, biographies, etc.
And in newspapers, would you see the preteritum?
Yeah, occasionally,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, can we learn then how we would form a preteritum of let's say, wohnen as a normal verb?
Yes, so we have a regular preteritum and we use wohnen. Obviously, we use the stem of wohnen, which is?
Wohnen.
Yes, so we leave out en at the end and replace it. It would be ich wohnte, so T-E.
So I lived.
Yeah.
And then you lived?
Du wohntest.
Okay, and he, she, or it lived?
Er, sie, es wohnte.
Okay, I'm seeing the pattern here.
Yeah.
We lived.
Wir wohnten.
And then you, plural, lived.
Ihr wohntet.
And then they lived.
Sie wohnten.
Okay, so this is pretty much exactly the same endings that we came across once we sorted out our stem bit of some of the other verbs.
Yes.
So, ich konnte, du konntest, as yes, konnte, wir konnten, sie, sorry, ihr konntet and sie konnten. So we're now putting that into wohnen. Ich wohnte, du wohntest, as yes, wohnte, wir wohnten, sie, ihr wohntet and sie wohnten, yeah?
Genau, sehr gut, super.
Okay, so are there changes to this?
Yes, and as always, if the stem ends in a T or a D, for example, arbeiten, what is the stem of arbeiten?
Arbeit.
Yes, now imagine, so ich arbeitete. That so, doesn't sound so good.
Yeah, so this is similar to what happened when we were forming the past participle.
Yes.
We had to add in an E.
Yes, or also the present tense.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So we need to add an E. Ich arbeitete.
Ich
arbeitete.
Ich arbeitete.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds a little funny.
Du arbeitetest.
Okay.
Er, sie, es arbeitete.
So that's I worked, you worked, he worked or she worked and so on.
Wir arbeiteten.
Yep.
Ihr arbeitetet. Und sie arbeiteten.
Okay, let's see if I can kind of process this because you also mentioned that the stem could also end in D.
Yeah.
So we took, when we were doing the past participles, we took baden.
Yeah.
And that became gebadet.
Genau.
Ich habe gebadet. So would we then say ich badete?
Yeah.
Du badest, badetest?
Yeah.
Er, sie, es badete?
Yeah.
Wir badeten?
Mm-hmm.
Ihr badetet?
Yeah.
Sie badeten.
Sehr gut, super.
Okay, that all seems to make sense. Okay, I think what we should do just now is break for a little moment. We'll be back soon and we will go through some other verbs, perhaps other common ones, because we've looked at regulars, but we need to look at some irregular too.
Genau.
Okay, we'll be back very soon. Bis bald.
Here at Coffee Break German, we want to help you turn your downtime into do time. Brauchst du mehr Übung? Join us on Facebook 3 times a week and put your German to work with our language challenges and cultural insights. As they say, practice makes perfect. Oder auf Deutsch, Übung macht den Meister. Head over to facebook.com/coffeebreakgerman. Wir sehen uns hoffentlich bald.
Okay, you're listening to Coffee Break German. We are looking at the preteritum of some verbs, looking at regular verbs so far. We talked about arbeiten, baden and also wohnen and talked about how to use them in the preteritum. But presumably there are also some irregular verbs we need to look at.
Yes, of course. Otherwise it wouldn't be German.
Indeed.
We have quite a few irregular verbs and unfortunately there are no real patterns that emerge that would help you so much.
Okay.
I think the way to go is look up the verbs.
Yep. And learn them.
And learn them. Yes.
Okay. Again, I suppose one of the key things here is seeing them and experiencing them. So even perhaps, certainly when I was learning French at first, one of the things I used to really enjoy doing was look at children's books because there you've got the past historic in French, which you wouldn't use in spoken French, but certainly in written French, you would definitely learn even with a simple book, simple sentences, but you're using this quite complex tense. So would that be the same in German?
Yes, exactly. Children's books are always a great way to learn a language because the structures are relatively simple, but you learn vocabulary, you learn conjugations and just how a child learns German.
Exposure to the language.
Exactly.
Okay, and when we're talking about something like the preteritum, then you do need that kind of exposure in books rather than listening to people talking.
Well, I think a mixture of both is a good
Good to me. Okay, let's have a look at a couple of irregular verbs then. Can you choose some really common ones that we would probably yes, need to know.
Yes, I asked some of my colleagues what they would suggest.
Okay.
And they said kommen and gehen.
So to come and to go.
Yes.
Right.
So we look at kommen first.
Okay.
Ich kam.
So that's I came.
Yeah. Du kamst.
You came.
Er, sie, es kam.
Okay.
Wir kamen. Ihr kamt. Sie kamen.
Okay, so even though we've got a kind of change of vowel here, it's still similar patterns. We're getting the st ending in the du form. We're getting en endings in the wir and the z form. But there is definitely something a little bit irregular with this ich kam.
Yes, exactly. Obviously, the vowels are irregular. And then we don't have all these t's.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So kommen then to come. Ich kam, I came. Du kamst, er, sie, es kam. Wir kamen, ihr kamt, sie kamen.
Genau.
Okay. What about gehen then?
Ich ging.
Ich ging?
Yes.
Okay.
Du gingst, er, sie, es ging. Wir gingen, ihr gingt, sie gingen.
Okay, that sounds a little bit strange, that one.
Yeah, so you see, really look up the verb and study it is the way forward.
And of course, when we're thinking about this in English, we've got a slight confusion here because the verb is to go. I go, you go, he goes, and so on. But then in English, we've got this very strange past form, I went.
Yes. So it gives me great pleasure because when I studied English, I had to learn all these verbs, these irregular verbs. I had lists and memorized everything. And it always gives me great pleasure to ask learners now to do the same in German.
Excellent. And I guess that's maybe one of the things in if we're translating from English into German, it's sometimes useful to remind ourselves that I went is a part of the verb to go.
Yes.
So that we know which verb to look up when we're doing the translation from English into German. But at least ich ging is closer to gehen than went is to go.
Yes, I think so too.
Okay, and these are only really used in written German or when we're telling a story.
Yes, exactly. We can use it in oral German when we tell a story to our kids or when we want to be particularly poetic about something.
That all seems to make sense.
Yes, and soon we will hear from Julia, who will tell us about two famous people's biography. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she will use some preterita there too.
Preterita, is that the plural of preteritum?
It's the plural of preteritum.
Okay. Let's, first of all, look at a couple of examples of these verbs in sentences.
Yes. So imagine I'm telling you a story.
Mm-hmm.
Mein Vater wohnte lange in einem kleinen Dorf. Dort ging er auch zur Schule und arbeitete später als Schreiner.
So you're saying there that your dad lived for a long time in a little village? Wohnte, mein Vater wohnte lange in einem kleinen?
Ja.
Einem kleinen Dorf?
Ja.
Okay, then you said?
Dort ging er auch zur Schule.
So there he also went to school.
Und arbeitete später als Schreiner.
And later on, he worked as a...
Joiner,
Schreiner, okay. That sounds good. We've had wohnte, ging and arbeitete.
Yes.
Let's have another one.
Christoph Kolumbus kam aus Genua in Italien. Er wollte um die Welt segeln, hatte aber kein Geld. Er ging nach Spanien und fragte die Königin. Sie gab ihm das Geld und er reiste ab.
It does sound like you're telling a story here. So you said that Christopher Columbus came from Genoa in Italy. Then the next part.
Er wollte um die Welt segeln.
He wanted to sail around the world.
Ja, hatte aber kein Geld.
But didn't have any money.
Er ging nach Spanien.
He went to Spain.
Und fragte die Königin.
So I'm guessing that's from Fragen. That's the preterite of Fragen. He asked the the queen.
Yeah?
I couldn't remember if Königin was queen or king. Uh-huh.
Sie gab ihm das Geld.
So she gave him the money.
Und reiste ab.
And he sailed away.
Genau.
Okay. Sie gab.
Yeah, that's another irregular.
We've seen that in Es gab.
Yeah, genau.
So just from geben.
Yeah.
So she gave him the money.
Yeah.
And he sailed off.
Genau.
Right. Can I ask one thing about the hatte aber kein Geld? Mm-hmm. Is that particularly a story form? You said wollte die Welt segeln, hatte aber kein Geld.
No, that's just because we have as the subject twice.
Okay.
So I don't need to repeat the subject.
Could we also have said wollte die Welt segeln, aber hatte kein Geld?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's time to hear from Julia now.
Ja, hallo Julia, wie geht's?
Moin moin ihr beiden. Mir geht's gut. Ich hoffe euch auch. So today we are talking about literature. I recently saw a Shakespeare play in a theater in Berlin. Of course his work is really famous here and everyone from young to old knows his name. And that made me wonder, do you actually know our German Shakespeare? Or should I say Shakespeare's? As there are two very famous German writers who have shaped German literature like no others. I'm speaking about Johann Wolfgang von Goethe and Friedrich Schiller. Goethe war ein Universalgenie. He was a writer and poet, a philosopher, an art critic, a natural scientist, a theater director, a lawyer and minister of state. It is truly unbelievable how multi-talented Goethe was, with huge success in so many different fields, and it would surely take many hours to give you all the details. What we remember him most for are his writings during the Romantic period and the so-called Sturm und Drang movement. In addition to numerous poems and novels, such as Die Leiden des jungen Werther, The Sorrows of Young Werther, Goethe is most famous for his drama Faust, eine Tragödie, a tragedy, published in 1808, which is seen by many as the most important piece of German literature and indeed a masterpiece of world literature. In 1788, Goethe met the young Friedrich Schiller for the first time and in the beginning wasn't very fond of him. Maybe he felt a kind of competition with the man who was 10 years his junior and was already a celebrated writer. Schiller's drama Die Räuber, The Robbers, had made him famous overnight at the age of 22. Even though Friedrich Schiller died at the young age of 45, his body of work was considerable. He was a writer, poet and playwright, as well as a historian. Among his famous pieces of work are the dramas Kabale und Liebe, Intrigue and Love, and Wilhelm Tell, William Tell. Schiller and Goethe might have had a difficult start, but they developed a lifelong friendship. They inspired each other and worked on several projects together. Their own literary style is known as the Weimarer Classic, named after the beautiful historical town of Weimar, where both of them worked and lived. Goethe's and Schiller's unique friendship has been captured in a monument that stands in Weimar in front of the German National Theatre. Their significance far beyond the German borders is shown by the fact that replicas of the same monument can be found in various cities in China and the US, so for example in San Francisco. Das reicht für heute. I'll be back soon with another cultural segment for you. Bis bald!
Okay, danke Julia, das war sehr interessant.
Ja, vielen Dank Julia.
Also, was machen wir jetzt?
I think we should practice a little bit more.
Yep, okay.
Maybe with a couple of translations from English into German.
Okay, let's see what you've got for us.
So I have another little story.
Oh, okay.
The princess was very sad because the prince didn't come to visit her.
I will have a go. Die Prinzessin war sehr traurig, weil der Prinz ihn.
Sie.
Sie. nicht. Kam zu sehen.
Yes, almost. Weil der Prinz sie nicht besuchen kam.
Okay, so besuchen ist to visit.
Ja. Yeah.
So, weil der Prinz sie nicht besuchen kam.
Genau.
Right, tricky. Okay, let's try one more.
Okay, another little story. The diligent joiner worked every day and finished the gift for the king.
Right, we've learned joiner, der Schreiner.
Yes.
But I don't know what diligent would be, I'm afraid.
Fleißig.
Fleißig. Okay, so the diligent joiner worked every day and finished the gift for the king. Right, I'll have a go. Would this be der fleißig, or does it become fleißiger?
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that.
Because we discussed this earlier.
That's why we know it.
Yes.
Der fleißiger, because it's an adjective with a definite article.
Yes.
Okay. Der fleißige Schreiner arbeitete, did I put one too many in
nein,
there?
Nein, arbeitete.
Arbeitete jeden Tag oder täglich.
Ja.
Und
we can use fertig machen.
Ah, right, okay, ja? To make ready. Yeah.
Ja.
Und machte das Geschenk für den König fertig.
Ja, sehr gut.
Right, can I just go double check a few things in there? So, der fleißige Schreiner, we've worked out why it's fleißiger, because it's the definite article and the adjective form in there, arbeitete täglich, worked daily, und machte, from machen, und machte das Geschenk für den König fertig.
Ja.
So für is followed by an accusative.
Genau.
Für den König.
Super.
Right. And that wouldn't take any of those weird accusative forms like Herren or anything like that?
Nein, nein, nein.
Okay,
nein.
So für den König.
Genau, super.
Thank goodness for that. Okay, we hope that you've enjoyed these stories and indeed Julia's stories, but we'll leave it for now with this episode. Okay, you can, of course, access the premium version of this lesson and indeed every other lesson of Coffee Break German over at coffeebreakgermanplus.com. And this week in our bonus episode, we've got a bit of a challenging exercise for us using these preteritum tenses. That's at coffeebreakgermanplus.com for the videos, the lesson notes and the bonus audio materials.
Now, if you've mastered German, don't forget that you can learn another language with Coffee Break. Vielleicht möchtest du Italienisch oder Französisch lernen oder sogar Chinesisch. If you'd like to learn another language, go to coffeebreaklanguages.com.
You can find out everything you need to know at coffeebreaklanguages.com or indeed coffeebreakgerman.com. But that is it for this week. We'd like to say thank you and see you soon.
Bis bald.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.